Welcome to Wonder in Reality. This is Jim, and this is part two of a message about the Feast of Israel. We're very grateful and glad to have Jeff Adams with us teaching. And Jeff, thank you for the previous message.
Oh, you're quite welcome. It's always an honor to share God's word and just let it come alive in our hearts.
Amen. And let's pray. Lord, we welcome you here, and we ask that you bless our listeners, and we believe with our listeners today for their needs, and also that you, Lord, will reveal yourself to them, especially through your feasts, and that you will reveal your glory to them. Amen. And thank you to Jeff. Anoint Jeff as he teaches, and continue to bless his teachings, and pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus. So basically, this is part two. Jeff is going to speak about the feast overall. Really looking forward to hearing about that. Previous message was about Pentecost, which is this weekend, this Sunday, as Jeff pointed out, and it's very powerful about the coming of the Holy Spirit. So I want to just give the floor to Jeff and just, it's very fascinating that the feast revealed Jesus Christ, and there's a just incredible significance about them. So thank you, Jeff.
All right, great. So I mentioned in part one about 1 Corinthians 5, verse 8, where Paul tells the Corinthians, let us continue to celebrate the feast. And so that's not something, you know, it's people ask me, why don't you think that the church has got this message, because it's so clear that we need to continue to do this. And I just think that so much of it has been, you know, there's been a lot of leaven in the church. We haven't always walked the way that we should have, as far as in the light that we've needed to walk. You know, it's there's been a lot of heathenism, you know, that's crept in the church actually since the very beginning. And when you study the history of the church, you'll see that, for example, you know, Jesus was, and I'll get into this a little bit more, but Jesus was not born on December 25th. I guess most of us know that, right?
Right.
But he was born, guess what? On a feast day.
Wow.
And I'm going to tell you which feast it was and which feast he was conceived on.
Wow.
God does all of his big things, big events on feast days. And so that's why I see everything that God has done, and I mean all of the huge events that He's done in over the course of time in history has been on a feast day.
Wow!
So I think that tells us, well, if He does all of these big events on feast days, then I better start celebrating the feast and observing and studying, because there's something there that I need to learn.
Amen. And can I add, Jeff, see, I did not know these truths, and I want to just tell our listeners, the main reason I want to have Jeff on this podcast, he understands the anointing and the presence of Jesus. But also, and Jeff does not, Jeff is a friend of mine, but I want to tell the listeners, he's regional representative for Operation Exodus for many years, which is a ministry that assists Jewish people from around the world in immigrating to Israel. I did not know that. That's the kind, you know, but he's very involved in, also he has conducted Messianic Passover Seders for many years, so he's an expert on the feast, obviously. But so I just, these are fascinating things about the feast, and but I just wanted to add that, and please continue, Jeff. Thank you.
Okay. So, something that, when we go back to Leviticus chapter 23, this is when God first gave instructions on celebrating the feast. And what I'm about to share is, I tell you what, it's been life-changing for me and people that I've shared this with. So, when you look at Leviticus 23, verse 4, it says, these are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at the appointed times. Okay, and the word convocation is the Hebrew word moedim. It's plural. And you know what it means?
What?
Appointments.
Mm.
Now think about this. You know, since Jesus did his work on the cross, and you know, the Bible says that we can come to the throne room boldly to find grace in time of help. To help in time of need, right? We know that. But yet there are times that God says, I have an appointment with you, Jim. I have an appointment with you, Jeff. And it's, if think of it this way, let's say that we had a horrible disease, a physical disease, and there were only a few specialists in the world that knew anything about this disease. So they were in great demand. All right? And they said, okay, on this day, Jeff, I want you to come, and I've got to see you. Well, I'd have to appointment with the specialist. And let's say that, don't you think that I would, since I have a very rare condition in this analogy, that I'm going to keep that appointment, right? Because it's so important. This guy, this doctor is so important. And if I don't come to that appointment, I may miss it.
Right.
Who knows when I'll be able to schedule it. A very similar situation with this.
Wow.
So yes, although we can go to God any time of the year that we, you know, we want, but there are appointments. There are days that God says, I have an appointment with you, and I want you to show up for it. Because I'm going to give you revelation that I'm not going to give any other times of the year.
Wow.
And I can confirm this by several prophets that have said the exact same thing. Bob Jones, who was a great prophet, he died a few years ago, said, I get most of my revelation of the upcoming year on the feast days.
Wow.
Because I understand that's an appointment I have with God. He's got to tell me some things. And he gets his pen and paper, and God starts downloading things. All on the feast day. Not necessarily on the other days as much. There's a prophet also. He's actually from India, named Sadhu, S-A-D-H-U, if you've ever heard of him. A powerful, powerful man of God. Says the same thing. I get my revelation on the feast days.
Wow.
I'll get with God on the feast of Yom Kippur, of Tabernacles, and all of a sudden it just starts flowing. So I would want to encourage everybody that's listening, get alone with God and realize He's got an appointment with you on this feast day, on every feast day that's coming up, and you'll get downloads that you've never heard before.
Well, that's interesting. And now, Jeff, can you clarify the seven feasts? Do they occur on one day, or is it more, you know, how does that work? And then, and please give the overview again about the seven feasts overall.
Okay.
And the nine.
So it starts with one day, but sometimes they can, and some of these feasts can last as much as a week. Okay. So the first feast that it talks about in Leviticus 23 is Passover. We already, as we talked about, we know the significance of Passover.
Yes.
This was, to the Jewish people, it was redemption from bondage in Egypt. To believers in Jesus, we've been redeemed from the bondage of sin.
Yes.
And the event that took place for that was crucifixion. That's the actual event. Unleavened bread is the second feast. This was a purging out of all the leaven or sin in our life. This is what the Jewish people would do, and it was, you know, something that we forget sometimes as Christians is that there's a price to pay for sin. You know, the law of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death, thank God, but there's a price to pay, and so we must never forget what Jesus did.
Amen.
All right, so he was without spot or wrinkle, the Bible says, and when he died on the cross, he was like that lamb, because when the lambs were sent to be sacrificed, they had to be observed by the priest to make sure there was not a sore or spot or anything on them.
Right.
Well, that's what Jesus gets this from. He was without spot or wrinkle. He was completely perfect. It had to be a perfect sacrifice. And so that was fulfilled. You know, he was completely sinless. And so that particular feast was fulfilled on that day. The Feast of First Fruits was fulfilled on resurrection morning. Okay, when it says to the Jewish people, this was the barley harvest. as I'd mentioned. And on first the Feast of First Fruit morning, the priest would take the sheaves of barley and wave it in the sign of a cross as Jesus was ascending to heaven. How cool is that?
Okay, so that, say that again, the first fruits, so the three feasts in the spring, Passover, unleavened bread, and then first fruits.
Correct.
That speaks of Jesus, did you say resurrection?
Right, right.
And that's, let me just say, that of course, that's the greatest miracle in human history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So to think that, okay, so first fruits, that was 3 days, well, okay, please go ahead.
All right, and so 50 days after Passover is Pentecost, which we're celebrating this weekend.
Okay.
Okay, and we've already mentioned that. What did that mean? That was the first, that was the giving of the law, the Torah. It was also, to the Christians, obviously, it's the coming of the Spirit, or coming of the Holy Spirit, and the birth of the church.
Yes.
All right. And then, those were fulfilled on the day. Okay, so the next feast to be fulfilled is Feast of Trumpets, which is Rosh Hashanah. So, to the Jewish people, this was a solemn assembly. There was a trumpet would blow and prepare for the Day of Atonement, which is the highest holy day of all. But to us as believers, what event will take place to fulfill the Feast of Trumpets?
Well, please tell us.
The coming of Jesus.
Oh, glory to God.
It said the trumpet shall sound, right? And those that are, 1 Thessalonians 4, just I absolutely love that chapter. Talks about the dead Christ will rise first, and those that remain should be called up with him. And so that's what we're waiting for. Now, here's something else. I'll go on a limb and say this. All of these other feasts were fulfilled on the day. Why wouldn't the return of Jesus, since God is a God of order, as I mentioned also in the last podcast, why wouldn't he follow the same order? So I do believe that Jesus will return on the Feast of Trumpets. We just don't know what year. And since Feast of Trumpets is the beginning of a week of preparation, it could be any time. But we don't know the year. Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour.
Right.
So we don't know that, but we can know the season.
Now, can I ask you something, Jeff, just to clarify and simplify? The way I understand it is, okay, there is the rapture, but then different from that is I'm just giving an overview separate from the feast, but there's the rapture and there's the coming, the second coming of Jesus Christ, right, is different.
Well, it depends on who you ask. You have pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib, and so
I don't want to solve that now. Obviously, that's a big debate. But can you clarify what trumpets is referring to? Is it? Can you just clarify again? Can you say what is trumpets referring to? In prophecy and all that.
Okay, it is when Jesus goes and gets his bride.
Okay.
Okay, so this is when we're going to be called. This is the 1 Thessalonians 4. Trumpets shall sound. And what's interesting is it's going to be during Rosh Hashanah, and so people will be raising up the shofars to blow which is the ram's horn, to blow the trumpets, and all of a sudden there's going to be a very loud shofar that's going to be heard around the world. You've heard about, the shot that heard around the world during the American Revolution. There's going to be a shofar that's going to sound that's going to be heard around the world.
Okay.
Boom, and we're going to be taken up. Okay, so, I feel very confident because Rosh Hashanah is in the month of September that he's going to come back in the month of September. Mm. We just don't know the day or the hour.
Mm.
Okay, so the next feast is Yom Kippur, called the Day of Atonement. This is the High Holy Day. This was, to the Jewish people, it was a solemn assembly for repentance and forgiveness under the law. And this is when the priest would go in and make atonement. And if you study the Old Testament, that they had to tie a bell around his ankle, because if it wasn't without spot or wrinkle, that priest would die.
Right, right. In the Holy of Holies.
Right, in the Holy of Holies. So this is what this is in reference to. And so, you know, this is for us as believers in Jesus. This is, you know, we are forgiven. And atonement has been made for us.
And so specifically, the Day of Atonement refers to what for us? How does that apply?
It is Judgment Day when the Father says, this person is covered by the blood of Jesus.
Oh.
We have, you know, when you break down the word atonement, it says at one meant. We are at one with the Lord.
Hmm. Wow.
And then the seventh feast of Leviticus is Feast of Tabernacles, also called Sukkot. And so, what's interesting about this is, to the Jewish people, this was when they would celebrate the memorial of tabernacling in the wilderness.
Mm.
Okay, to us, it's when the kingdom of heaven is on earth. This is what we'd celebrate it as, when the Lord comes back, sets up his kingdom, and we are tabernacling with the Lord. Now, I'd mentioned about Christmas not falling, or the birth of Jesus not falling on December 25th. He was actually born, are you ready for this? Feast of Tabernacles.
Are you really serious? He was.
We are absolutely, and this is not me, obviously. These are a lot of biblical scholars that are 100% convinced that Jesus was born during the Feast of Tabernacles.
Wow.
We have a little hint with John 1. And the Word became flesh and lived and dwelt among us.
Yes.
The actual word there, dwelt, is actually tabernacled.
Yes.
The Word became flesh and lived and tabernacled among us.
Mm.
Also, you know, when you study the story, the Christmas story, we know that the angels came to see the shepherds and who were out, you know, keeping watch over their flock, as you know. Well, they didn't do that in December. They did it in September, early October. They did it in December because it was too cold.
Mm.
All right, December was way too cold for that. The reason why we celebrate Christmas on the 25th was during the Constantine Empire, when he, you know, said, "Hey, this is going to be a Christian nation," but yet there were a lot of heathens, and so there was, just the winter solstice. That was December 25th, and mm-hmm. So he just said, "Okay, we're just going to have one celebration." And it's going to be on December 25th. And Christians, you start celebrating, you know, the birth of Jesus on the 25th.
Right.
And so that's how it all happened. So I celebrate both times. Yes, I celebrate on December 25th, the birth of Jesus. I also celebrate during Feast of Tabernacles.
And so generally, correct me if I'm wrong, he was officially born. For us, it would be in September or sometime in the fall, early October.
Right, September. Well, it could be early October.
Okay. Yes. So.
So it's right around there. Mm-hmm.
And when we see the Feast of Tabernacles, tabernacle actually speaks of God dwelling with His people, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Very much. Very much so.
In fact, I think in Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, famous verse, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He who opens the door, I will come into him and tabernacle with him, and he with me." I've heard a teacher say that, but I just want our listeners to know, even though a feast that occurred thousands of years ago, it speaks of God dwelling with his people. Yes.
Yes, and so when we talk about Feast of Tabernacles, you know, the primary theme is living together.
Hmm.
Tabernacling together. And so what they would do, even today, the Jewish people, and I've been to Israel and seen this, they will live in their little sukkahs or huts. They'll usually build them outside, usually about a 10 by 10. Sometimes it could be, if they live in an apartment, it'll be out on their balcony. And so think about, especially the Orthodox ones, you know, if it's living together and you're living in a temporary tent for a whole week, that's about 10 by 10, you better learn to get along, right? So that's what that really emphasizes.
Okay.
And so it does teach us what our forefathers, our spiritual forefathers, how they lived in the wilderness. And so, you know, living living in these small sukkahs.
Okay.
But yet also, you know, there was, you know, to us as believers, it's you know, it really helps us to learn the value of living together,
mm-hmm.
and even in close quarters. Now, do you remember when the witnesses showed up on Mount Transfiguration?
Yeah,
they said, let us build a temple. Let us build a sukkah. You remember that? Let us build a what that was on the day of Tabernacles.
Really?
And it said, let us. Well, since you're here, let us build. Since y'all are here, let us build a sukkah for you. And so there's again wonderful things to have taken place all on the feast days.
Yes.
And so those are the seven Levitical feasts. There are two other feasts that are celebrated. In fact, Jesus celebrated them. The first one is Purim, and actually it takes place around February, sometimes early March. And that, as we know, that's the Feast of Esther. Jesus did celebrate the Feast of Esther. Because when you look in John chapter 5, it says that Jesus went to Jerusalem to celebrate a feast, all right? Which, if for every major feast that Jesus celebrated, it would tell you what the name of it was. If it was Feast of Tabernacles, it was Passover, Unleavened Bread, it would mention that. But when it doesn't say by name, that means it was a minor feast, okay? And also, the reason why we know that he celebrated the Feast of Purim is because, first of all, Purim, it took place about 357 B.C., and if you remember the story without getting into it, this was when, you know, Esther fasted and prayed and saved the people. And actually, Haman, who was the bad guy in the story, wanted to kill all the Jews. But yet the king had mercy on Esther and her people. And everything got turned around. And guess who got taken and hanged? It was Haman. Well, an interesting story. During World War II, after post-World War II, when the Nazi leaders were being tried for their crimes against humanity, one of the Nazi leaders, as he was judged and he was taken out to the gallows, you know what he said? Purim Fest, 1947.
Really?
What? He knew what was going on. He knew the significant the event that was taking place, but because he somehow said that this is just like Purim. We tried to kill the Jews, but now it's been turned on us.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
So that is that's Purim, and the other one is Hanukkah. And we know from John chapter 10 that Jesus celebrated Hanukkah. It's called the Feast of Dedication in the Bible. You know the whole story when the temple was overtaken and it was just defiled. The throne, the altar was defiled with pig's blood, and Judah Maccabees led a gang of people that overtook it, and there was only enough oil to last one day, but yet it lasted all 8 days. You know, the miracle of the lights. Well, it says that Jesus went to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Dedication. There it is.
It says that in...
It says it in John chapter 10.
John 10, okay. So,
mm-hmm.
So nine feasts overall, is that right?
Yep,
seven major...
That's right.
Okay. Can you... This is great, Jeff. Can you clarify, you mentioned Jesus was even conceived on a feast.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So guess what feast? I'm glad you mentioned that. So guess what feast is 9 months prior to Feast of Tabernacles? Well,
please tell us.
Hanukkah.
No way.
The light of the world was conceived during the Festival of Lights.
Wow.
Wow. Isn't that awesome?
That is incredible, and that is great, and wow. So even you mentioned Jesus was born and conceived on feast. Well, this is great, Jeff, and I'm just really excited. I'm going to re-listen to this, and You must have studied this closely. I mean, to learn all of this.
Well, it's over 30 years of study and learning from some of the best teachers in the world.
Wow.
I've just spent a lot of time with this, and the more I study, the more I realize I don't know. It gets me to study even more. I learn something every year. I really do. I learn something every year from just continuing to study and realize, oh my goodness, here's another truth.
Wow. That is awesome. And I'm going to also look up about, I've been learning about how the seven feasts, okay, the first, you know, there's three seasons, right, roughly, but the first four have been, Jesus has fulfilled them, then the final three, he will fulfill. So,
right.
And truly fascinating. Well, Jeff, thank you so much, and I'm believing with our listeners that Jesus will reveal himself to them through these feasts. And thank you, Jeff. We bless your ministry, and thank you for being with us today, taking this time. And we seal all of this in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And this, so Jeff, just one final thing. This Sunday, can you just talk about that briefly? That this Sunday is the actual Feast of Pentecost, because I've gone to church. I haven't, you know, seen a lot of emphasis on that. But please tell us about that.
We've heard Pentecost Sunday, but how is it celebrated in the church? Well, that's a good question. It's usually nothing more than just singing some songs. And then obviously sometimes they'll do a teaching on Acts 2, which is so awesome and incredible, and I love that.
Yeah.
But they're not, usually you don't see a lot of background of that, of the teaching of Pentecost in churches today, as far as it's the same day as the giving of the law. But this is just a great time. And here's something else. So God is restoring what I call the spirit of Ruth to the church. What do I mean by that? So, you know, the church has not always walked side by side with the Jewish people. In fact, you know, there are times where the cross became a sword to the Jewish people because we just didn't have the revelation. And if you look and you study the book of Ruth, what did Ruth say to Naomi when Naomi said, Ruth, go back to your pagan gods, you know, but because I've just lost my whole family to death. And what did Ruth say? Naomi, where you go, I go. Your God will be my God, and your people will be my people. Mm. In my opinion, Jim, this has been one of the callings of the church that hasn't come to fruition until recently. I think God has just given so much revelation on this, and that's why you see so many Christians that are just embracing Israel, embracing the Jewish people like never before, because I think we're beginning to start stepping into our Ruth calling.
Amen. And yes, I agree with you on that, and we do lift up Israel, and we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the peace of Israel. Well, thank you, Jeff, and thank you to our listeners for following this podcast. And please do email us at hello@wonderreality.org, and blessings to you.